Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, good Friday afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg this afternoon. The whole gang here in Hattiesburg. That's unusual. Got Fox TV here with us this afternoon and Southern Miss pitcher Drew Boyd. So, I mean, we have a full house here in the Southern Bancorp studio. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of Southern Miss Athletics. And, of course, the Eagle Hour, and we're grateful to them for all they do. Encourage you, if you want a great meal this weekend, take your family to Dickey's here in Hattiesburg, and we promise you will not be disappointed. Coming up a little later in the show, the play-by-play voice of Texas State University as we begin to take a look at the new schools in the Sun Belt Conference and the new upcoming opponents of Southern Miss football this fall. And we'll visit with Texas State University a little later in the show. But right now, as I mentioned, we've got Golden Eagle pitcher Drew Boyd here in the studio with us. And such a great story, Drew. Glad to have you here, first of all.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And you were telling me before we went on the air that you're 10 days away from going to medical school. So you've got your degree. You were a college athlete. You really symbolize, I think, everything that college athletics are supposed to be about, particularly in this day of likeness agreements and transfers and all that. You came here. You went to school. You played baseball. And now you're going to be a doctor. Congratulations to you, son.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, Southern Miss definitely gave me an opportunity to succeed more than just on the field. So.
And you're part of a fraternity. We talk to a lot of baseball players, and one thing we learn is that's a fraternity that you got to play to be a part of. But these guys will be friends of yours the rest of your lives, won't they?
Absolutely. No doubt. No doubt about it. There's guys that will be at my wedding. If my wedding was tomorrow, I don't know how I'd be able to fit all those guys in there. I'd have to find ways to make room for them because they're just guys that I'll have relationships and talk to and be best friends with for the rest of my life.
A captain on the team this year, what did that mean to you?
Oh, that meant the world. It's definitely a really humbling feeling because, you know, it is voted on by the team. And early on, that was a goal of mine. You know, I wanted to build that reputation as a leader, you know, and that's just not handed out. It's just got to be earned over the course of a few seasons. And it was pretty hard, you know, because I just didn't really play that much my first 3 years with injuries and COVID, so it was just a very long process. But to end my last year as a team captain was definitely a humbling experience
and a great year too. What a year. Put in perspective what this season was like.
It was unbelievable. You know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. And oddly enough, it could have possibly not happened. You know, I was planning on being at USM for 4 years and heading to med school after that fourth year, and then COVID hit. And I was basically looking at one full year of baseball if I were to continue on that four-year trek. And long story short, Coach Oz basically convinced me that med school will always be there. You know, I'll have the rest of my life to go be a doctor, but this set time to play baseball and hang out with my best friends. And so I did decide to come back for that fifth year, and I seriously cannot imagine how I would have handled sitting up there in Jackson while watching all my friends host the first super regional in USM history.
Yeah. And he'll also have a whole lifetime, Bob, to pay back his student loans.
Exactly. You're right about that.
Coach from Oz, pretty good coach.
Yeah, great guy. He's you can't say enough for what he's done for the program. You know, me and Coach Oz showed up to USM at the same time, so my first year was also his first year, and he always is just so harping that he's seen me grow up as a player and as a person. And it's funny because I turn it right back around and say the same thing for him, just see how much he's grown and transitioned into this premier top pitching coach, or really just coach in general in the country. And you just, again, you can't really say enough about what he's done for the program.
Drew, you grew up in a situation, your dad was a great athlete in his own right, several different sports that your dad played at a very high level. How did you handle that relationship with your dad? Say you never wanted to play sports. How did you and your dad get along? You turned out being a pretty fair player yourself, but I'm just saying, growing up in a household where your dad had an extensive pedigree.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I don't know what our family would do without sports. You know, it's just how and what I grew up around. You know, even if I wasn't playing, we were watching, or we were out. If we weren't playing baseball, football, or basketball, he was teaching me how to play golf or how to go play tennis. And it's really, I mean, it's not just about being out there and playing. It's about the network of people that you meet. And that's some of the most priceless things that you get throughout those experiences.
But in the rare instance that you would have a bad game and you guys would be in the car together, you know, did he let you just have a bad game? Did he make you begin the conversation? How would you describe that relationship where your dad could put the sports aside and be Drew Boyd's dad?
So we did have a very good relationship, and he gave me PTSD of describing that being in the car after a game that I did bad on. I can just see myself in the back seat.
No, it was rare.
And I'm talking about the most just generic, non-game specific topics, and then I just know he's going to hit me with a, "So what did you feel in your swing today? Like, you just weren't..." And I would have to be like, "I don't know, Dad. Like, I just didn't play good today, and like, I'm just going to work on it and get better." And that wasn't enough for him. He wanted to figure out every single reason for what I did that day or in that game that resulted in me having a bad game, and I just rolled my eyes, but I think I'm better for it.
Well, I had the pleasure of sitting by your dad for the past several years. Their suite was right next to where we sat.
I'm so sorry.
No, he was always calm unless you were pitching. Then I noticed he seemed a little edgy and nervous then.
Yeah, him and my mom both... They always say they're more nervous when they're watching me than they ever were, you know, playing whatever they were playing back in their day. You know, my mom's a very good athlete in the family too, and she's I believe her when she says that she's more nervous watching me than any other time in her life. And she says, "I'm probably more nervous than you." And I was like, I think about it and I'm like, okay, yeah, you're probably right. Because at least I'm out there moving around and exerting that nervous energy somewhere. Right. And then they're just kind of sitting up in that booth watching their son pitch for his team.
But did it add any pressure to you? If so, how much? I mean, your dad's unusual in that he was a three-sport star at Southern Miss. There are not many of them.
Yeah. To be honest, I never felt any added pressure at all. And my dad's a very, very humble guy. And I didn't really... know how big of a deal it was until probably fairly recently in the past couple of years that he did play three sports at USM. And you know, when people would tell me that, my dad would rarely bring it up. He would always let other people bring it up when I was younger.
Yeah, he would pay me to bring it up actually in conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't have, as a sixth grader, I didn't have any feel for what three sports in college looks like. People would be like, "Your dad played three sports in college," and I'll be like, "Well, I'm playing three sports right now too. Like, what's the big deal here?" And I don't know, it just never felt like it was added pressure. It was just like, "Oh, okay, like my dad was pretty
good
at sports."
But now you know what a big deal it was having played Division I baseball.
Yeah, no doubt. But all he did, to be fair, all he did for football was punt. So I don't
Uh-oh.
Really know.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Did you hear that, Luke?
Luke Johnson.
All he did was punt.
I always...
Look at those eyes you're getting there, Drew.
Yeah.
That's always my joke towards him.
Now, like, Drew, you're headed to UMC for med school here, as we mentioned, about 10 days or so. A lot of coaches are getting out of the college game because of image and likeness and things, having to, quote-unquote, re-recruit their teams every year. You're out now. Are you glad you're done the way that the landscape of college sports appears to be changing, or would you like to be in and cash in on some of that?
Yeah, it's definitely a sticky time to be getting into college athletics, and I myself didn't really want to mess with it because it started right in the middle of my career, more towards the end, and so I knew that the the landscape of college sports was definitely shifting, and there was a lot of uncertainty for what's going to happen, and now it's starting to shape out a little bit as far as we can tell. And I mean, I've always would love to go back and play college sports, no matter what the financial aspect of it was. But to be out of it now, it seems a little just kind of like, okay, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that.
But you're seeing some of the ugliness. And let's take Hurston Waldrop, for example. This was a guy that everybody, then he decides he's going to go take an image and likeness deal. All of a sudden, the guy you liked yesterday, some of the Fickell family, well, I'll let him go. You know, it really, you're seeing kind of some of the ugliness on. But you can't blame a guy necessarily. You've never walked in his shoes as to why any athlete would make that decision to leave.
Right. Yeah. And I would never speak ill of any teammates. You know, to each is their own decision. And like you said, like, we'll never be in that shoes of his shoes of being offered or given the opportunity to make this much money. And who are we to say that we would also turn that down? You know, yes, it stinks. Selfishly, we would like to see guys stay and play for USM, no matter how good or bad their outcomes are. But that's just not how it's going to be.
Well, you stuck here, and you're a real credit to college athletics and Southern Miss. And we're glad you were here. We wish you the best in medical school, and we thank you for being on the Eagle Hour.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the Eagle Hour. Drew Boyd, an example of just the high class of the Southern Miss baseball program. What a great kid, Kelly Sanders.
Yeah, and always has been. And the way you get to be voted team captain is you'll talk to Drew about any one of his teammates, and it's nothing but glowing positive feedback about all of his team. Even if he had any quote-unquote dirt on his team, you're not going to hear that from Drew Boyd.
No, just absolute nothing but first class.
And he got dirt on punters, though.
He did do that a little bit, didn't he, Larry?
All I got to say is, and we were joking before he walked out, but I'll take honor on air. Well, all punters do is win, okay? So if you want to talk about all they do, yeah.
That's why they're on the special teams, because they can.
They're special.
That's all we do,
you know?
All right, Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour, and we're glad they do. Kathleen is such a great lady, and they have such great merchandise. They're open 7 days. She works 7 days a week on Hardy Street. You could also shop online at campusbookmart.net. I want to remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play Super Talk Eagle Hour. And the only person on the planet that can't get Alexa to do that is Kelly. But Kelly's used to that with women, so it really comes as no surprise.
Not at all.
I
thought you were talking Mandarin Chinese when you said that the first time.
How long has it been since all three of us have been in the studio here together? I can't even remember.
It's been several minutes.
It's
not
been
just
several
a minute.
Minutes. That's right.
Well, it was a whole different. It's probably last fall.
It's been a while, and we're glad to have you here, man. It's good.
Yeah,
to have
glad
you
to be here.
Here.
Hey guys, how about this? We've been talking the last couple weeks. What kind of tear Matt Wallner's been on? Gets promoted today to the St. Paul Saints. Now from Forest Lake, he is a mere 27 miles from his hometown, where he will be playing for the AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah. That's awesome. What a great kid. Another great kid, man. I mean, I don't know, not to beat a dead horse, but you just can't say enough about baseball players and the baseball kids that play on this program.
Not just this program, but there's a message here.
Generally all baseball teams.
There's a message here to young athletes, regardless of the sport. Do you see the common thread with college athletes now today? You need to be respectful. You need to be a good student. You need to be a hard worker, because there's a lot of guys out there, right, that could get these scholarships. But if you get your choice, these are the type of guys you're going to want. Anybody
100%.
Would.
He got interviewed earlier in the week and was being asked about Southern Miss. and talked about the relationship he had with his teammates and the coaches.
Drew Boyd, you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about Matt Wallner.
Oh, Matt.
Yeah, I'm talking about Matt Wallner.
Okay.
And but you know, Boyd said as much. You know, you heard that from him last segment. Wallner said that he wouldn't trade that decision for anything in the world because of the relationship that he had at Southern Miss and how much it prepared him for this next level. On top of that, he's like in St. Paul for like one day because he's flying to L.A. today. I would assume today because he's playing in the Futures game
right
tomorrow as a part of the kickoff kind of All-Star week. So welcome to AAA, Mr. Wallner. Welcome to the Futures game. That's a big deal for a Southern Miss Golden Eagle to play in the Futures game.
Here's a Matt Wallner story. Kelly will remember this, I think. We had him here in the studio right after he signed his deal. And Kelly asked him, like only Kelly would do, now that you've got all this money, Matt, what's going to be different? And this was his answer. He thought about it a second. And he said, well, you know, now I can go to Chick-fil-A as many times a day as I want to.
Which, hey, if I were the marketing director for Chick-fil-A, I'd have been all over that.
You remember that, right?
I do.
Well, what a great story. And there's so many that come out of the baseball program. It's a pleasure that we get to have such an inside seat to that, Luke.
I'll be watching that tomorrow. 21 home runs. He was in his AA league. He was, I think, eighth in on-base percentage. Just unbelievable. Second in home runs. And he's a slugger, so he's going to strike out. But what he's done is, if you look at his minor league stats, he is walking more than really he ever has. And that's what's allowing him, the pitch count, not like being a sucker for certain out pitches. He's being more patient at the plate. 21 home runs at the All-Star break. Pretty good for the minor leagues.
And the word that comes to mind is maturity as a hitter. When you're walking more and you're seeing better pitching, right? So the difference between a ball and a strike is such a fine line, and he obviously is honing that eye. But as this Southern Miss pitching staff, as deep as it has, another rostered player for Southern Miss, Luke, has decided to try the transfer portal.
Yeah, Will Tynes, the news today, hitting the portal. And you got to think some of it is the fact that as many didn't leave. And
right.
Will Tynes comes in. He's got 3 years left. 88 to 92 guys been clocked as high as 93. And, I mean, not a guy that played that much, but at the same token, man, he's a Golden Eagle, and
right.
He was on this team for the last 2 years, so he's looking for a place to go. 6'2", 195-pound freshman out of Bossier City, Louisiana. Redshirt freshman, I should say, so he's got 3 years to play. So we wish him the best.
Sure.
And it's always tough. And so here's the thing. The transfer portal is created for kids like Will Tynes.
Correct.
Who didn't get on the field as much as he thought he might. And, you know, because of this unbelievable staff, everybody's coming back. So we wish him the best. And so I heard the end of the, you know, your segment with Drew last. And this is the reason why we have a portal, is for guys like Tynes to be able to find a place where he can thrive, and that's what we want to see happen to him.
Can we say with any degree of certainty now that our suspicions that Florida had used the transfer portal to recruit one of our players is now
fact? They didn't use the transfer portal because he wasn't in the portal.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but yeah. Here's – and so the sticky part about that is you can't ever prove – what do you call this? Tampering or illegal contact, because this is how it works. You'll have – you know, somebody at Florida reach out, you know, somebody remotely connected to Waldrop, whether it's a travel ball coach or a high school guy. I don't know. I'm not naming. I don't have any knowledge of who reached out. But it's like third, fourth cousin access. And so you have like, you know, three middlemen. And so the very fact before he hit the portal, we knew he was going in the portal.
And we knew
where
he
was
going.
Shows you that there had been significant conversation.
Right. We knew exactly where we said that's where he was going the day before. I think that he actually entered the portal.
And because of the image and likeness situation, it could literally be the guy who owns the car dealership. Just saying, hey,
it could be anybody.
I'd like
that's
you to
correct.
Maybe
that's
do correct. Some commercials for me down here.
But NIL is never, guys, never to be used as a reason for a student athlete to decide that they want to change their educational goals and career in order to go somewhere.
And an SEC
never.
School would never violate that rule.
It just means more. I mean,
Michael Mergens is our sound effects guy. We need to get like a laugh track, and so that when
I should try to find one here.
With that said. with not just with Waldrop, but anybody. He's a grown man. He can make grown men decisions. And I think it's I don't want to be, because there is on social media the over the top spiteful nature. And I'm putting myself there when I was 20 years old or 21 years old. I stayed at Southern Miss, but at the same time, there is a way to be frustrated and disappointed. And I think, you know, mad that, you know, you got hosed off your 1B ace from an SEC school because of probably illegal contact. There's a way to do that where you recognize what he did for the program. And so I want to hit that middle ground.
And until you have walked in somebody's shoes, you don't know what goes into making those decisions. So, you know, you can't criticize.
We know a significant amount of what, but not how many.
We just don't know the exact
figure. Not how many Franklins were involved. But to your point, Kelly, this is what it is. I mean,
but so, I'm saying that amount of money might have been a really important to his family, where it may not be as important to somebody else.
What I'm saying objectively is, no matter who it is, no matter where they go to school, these guys are making decisions that they weren't, you know, being allowed or given the responsibility to make these decisions until they were 23, 24. So here's the thing. There's a tax burden that comes with that. You learn, you know, when you uproot your life and go somewhere else, there's consequences that come with that, positive or negative. So in some ways, as much as I don't like the system, I mean, you're about to make big boy decisions.
And here's the other thing. So let's suppose you go to whatever school. All right. Well, there's no guarantee that you're going to be the stud. At that school.
That's what frustrates me with Waldrop is he doesn't gain much draft stock by going to Florida when he's locked in with a weekend.
Yeah. You know where you are here, and it's not like Southern Miss is a Johnny come. This is a good program.
Well, it will be top 20. Anyway, we've beat a dead horse this entire segment.
The good news is the donkey's coming back.
Plenty of them.
Yeah, we got a lot of donkeys coming back. The ace is coming back.
Who
pitched shutout innings against Cuba, and all is good. All is good also in football. We're about to go into the Sun Belt Conference, and Luke lined this up. We're fixing to get a preview of Texas State, which had a pretty daggum good baseball team. But we're going to talk football.
We'll continue our tour of the Sun Belt. All these Sun Belt guys are not only agreeing to come back later in August to specifically talk football, but been gracious enough to basically introduce our listening base to their university and athletic department as we learn the Sun Belt.
Texas State next on the Eagle Hour. Don't go anywhere.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I want to thank Drew Boyd for joining us early in the show. Great pitcher for the Southern Miss baseball team and just an outstanding kid. I want to welcome our friends from Fox TV here who are here shooting a TV commercial for the Eagle Hour, and they got the extra wide lens on, so we got Kelly.
There's a reason why we all have faces for radio.
Well, there is, and you'll see that when it hits the air. And of course, in typical style, Luke and I wear our Southern Miss shirts, and Kelly, being the Outlander, he comes here in a Pearl River Community College.
So we had actually framed some of the shots to block
logo.
He doesn't have permission to wear that either, so if it shows up, you're going to have to blur it or something like
that. Correct, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Good job, Sam.
Well, and look, for the record, you guys know I have a ton of Southern Miss stuff, but the last shirt that I got shrunk. I've had it for like a month.
And there's an answer to that. Yeah. Campus bookmark on Hardy Street.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Reason it shrunk was because of our next sponsor, 4th Street Bar and Grill.
Well, good segue, Bob. Great segue.
Because Kelly's down there eating poor boys and drinking beer 7 days a week.
Right.
They're located right in the shadow of the Rock, and they're great supporters of Southern Miss Athletics. And we just thank the world of Slade and all those guys. And hope you'll have lunch down there and enjoy some fun on the weekend at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Glad to have our next guest on the Eagle Hour. Brant Freeman is the play-by-play voice for Texas State University. It's so delightful to be talking about the new schools in the Sun Belt Conference.
Amen.
That the Golden Eagles are going to be dealing with. And so we asked Brant to come on. We're going to get him back a little later to talk about Texas State football. But Brant, thanks for coming on. We were hoping that you would just kind of share some information with us today. Tell our listeners around the state of Mississippi, give them kind of an overview of Texas State University.
Sure, guys. And by the way, welcome to the Sun Belt Conference.
We're glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's been about 2 weeks now since everything became official. And obviously, as you guys know, the dominoes of realignment started falling about this time last year. I remember being at Sun Belt Conference Media Days and hearing the news that Texas and Oklahoma were headed for the SEC. And everybody knew when that happened that there was going to be widespread impact across the board at the Division I level all the way down. I think you've seen it to NAIA. And I knew that the Sun Belt would be impacted. It was a matter of who then would fit into the conference. And I know when I was looking at prospective schools myself, Southern Miss was one that stood out to me. You know, one, the history and tradition, you know, of the football program, of the baseball program in recent years, certainly, of some of the others there. I remember there was a home-and-home between the two schools in football in 2013 and in 2015. So I've gotten to know a little bit about Southern Miss and the Gridiron, and certainly followed their run of the Super Regionals this past year for baseball. That was happening all the while Texas State was having a great baseball year, too, and thinking to myself, man, how good is the Sun Belt Conference going to be in this sport moving forward? But you guys were asking about Texas State. So the program, the department, has been an FBS one for about 10 years now. Their first year was 2012 when they ushered in the FBS era. They were actually in the WAC for that first year, then they moved right into the Sun Belt the year after that. In the conference, they've had success across the board in almost every sport. Our women's athletics here are unbelievably good. Volleyball has been a powerhouse. They had a run of back-to-back championships, almost had three in a row this past year. In the Sun Belt, they've been an NCAA tournament team, kind of NCAA regulars over the past 4 or 5 years. Softball has been a top three program in the Sun Belt, kind of battling with Louisiana over the past 5 or 6 years. Women's track and field has been unbelievably successful. Our men's basketball program has won back-to-back regular season championships. Our baseball program, Sun Belt regular season champs this past year, their second in 4 years and an at-large bid, and they were three outs away from being in the Supers as well, you know, this past year. A lot of the sports, very successful. Football, though, admittedly has been down. Hopefully that doesn't linger much longer, and looking forward to years of competing in the West with you guys.
Brant, Luke Johnson here. Thanks so much for being on with us today. Let's talk about the location of Texas State, because Southern Miss fans excited. You know, we're within, you know, probably 4 hours of four different schools. Just as from the Texas State approach, we love the Sun Belt because it's a smaller footprint. You guys are, you know, represent the western boundaries of the conference. What's been your experience, you know, kind of being out west and yet, you know, the footprint being a little smaller than it would be in other conferences?
Yeah, you know, when realignment happened, I think the writing was on the wall for our travel partner of UTA. You know, there were two teams in the conference in Texas. UT Arlington was one of them, and now they're gone. And Little Rock was a travel partner for Arkansas State, also a Western Division team. They are gone. And when you look at the Group of Five level out here in the westernmost part, you know, of the Sun Belt's geography, we're the only team in Texas now in the conference. Well, you have, you know, UTSA and North Texas and UTEP and Rice, you know, in other Group of Five conferences that aren't there along with us. So there's not a natural geographical rival, you know, for Texas State. You look at the Sun Belt, though, as a whole, you certainly have a huge rivalry between the two Louisiana schools, ULM and Louisiana. Troy's now moving over to the west along with South Alabama, you know, and certainly there's a great geographical rival between those two. You know, in Arkansas State, they no longer have their partner with Little Rock, but they've been a great football program in years past, not necessarily recently, but they've had that success before and a great foundation. So you look at the West, and across the board in all sports, there's really good programs out there. Louisiana has had a stranglehold on the West when it comes to football, and certainly they've been a tremendous baseball program over the years. They just won the Sun Belt Tournament this past year. ULM has now Terry Bowden as their head coach for the football program. I mentioned Arkansas State. They were bowl regulars, up until the last couple of years. South Alabama has Kane Womack, a young, exciting head coach, guiding their football program. And their baseball and basketball programs have been very strong as well. And certainly Troy has had its success across the board in all sports too. So while a lot of the geography is tighter in terms of location in the East, it's a little more widespread in the West. These aren't huge TV markets, but they have great fan bases and great traditions. I think Southern Miss is going to fit right in.
Yeah, one of the things that we've been thankful for is that what the apparent leadership in the Sun Belt with Keith Gill. And to your point, realignment didn't mean media markets. It meant like programs and success on the field. What's been Texas State, perception of Sun Belt leadership since you've been in the conference?
Sure. And by the way, we mentioned TV markets. For those who don't know about Texas State, Sam Marcus is right in the middle of Austin and San Antonio. So it's easy to get to Texas State. You can fly into either major metropolitan city. It's a great college town. Enrollment is the third largest in the state. We're around 40,000 undergraduate students here at Texas State. It's a very large university. It's a great, college city, a lot of great local eateries and places to go. And if you want to venture out of San Marcos, again, Austin and San Antonio are literally right down I-35. In terms of leadership, getting back to your question, we have a new athletic director, Don Coryell. He's been with the university in athletics for about 16, 17 years now, and he was promoted from within when our previous AD decided to retire, Larry Tice. And then our university president, Denise Trout, made her retirement announcement shortly after our AD did. So now we have a new president who ironically comes here from Arkansas State, Kelly Dampfus. Both guys are relatively young in their careers and their professions, and both have a lot of energy and great vision for the university. I think the leadership really showed this past year under Don Coryell in his first year as AD, as Texas State won the Bubba's Cup, which is basically the Commissioner's Cup for the Sun Belt Conference that recognizes all the on-field success for all your programs, and it was the second for this program in the last 4 years. So between athletic departments, new university presidents, our head coaches, the leadership here has been tremendous, and it needs to be because the Sun Belt, with their leadership in all these now 14 schools, is really good. So the level of competition is only getting tougher, so your leadership has got to be up there with them.
All right, Brent, can you hang on for another segment with us, short break, and continue our conversation?
Yeah, sure. Sounds good, guys.
All right, Brent Freeman from Texas State University going to be joining us in the last segment of the show. Gives us time to remind you another reason Kelly shirts aren't fitting is Mo Bay Beignet. But, boy, it's worth it, isn't it, Kelly?
Yeah, but the powder gets – you don't want to wear a black knit shirt if you're going to –
Don't wear black Mo Bay Beignet.
I had my first in-store beignet experience the other day. It was better than what I had in the Roost because they were stinking fresh the other morning.
Right.
But it was the same. I got – the other morning I did the buttercream syrup. And
that's good stuff.
Yeah.
They cook them as you order them.
Here's what you do. You pour the syrup into the powdered sugar and mix it up a little bit, and you get a little icing. And that solves your dust cloud experience.
Go on.
Mo Bay Beignet on Hardy Street, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour. Brent Freeman continues with all of us here in the Southern Bancorp studio right after this.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment of the week brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, DBATHattiesburg.com. Bob, Luke, and Kelly from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Women's tennis senior Monique Burton named a finalist for the 2022 NCAA Woman of the Year Award. Pretty impressive for Monique, and go win it all. Here we go. All right, back with Brant Freeman from Texas State University. It is we never want to get that backward, Brant. It's Texas State or the University of Texas State?
Texas State University, but never call us TSU, please.
Never. We will. People will call us Southern Miss University, and we never want to be called SMU either. So, Kelly, go ahead.
Brant, one of the things that now I go back to the days when Texas State was Southwest Texas State University. Mm-hmm. Right? It shows you how old I am. But one of the things that has been consistent over the years is the school's sterling reputation when it comes to partying. Every year, a particular publication that comes out about football season lists the top schools and their ability to party.
He waited an entire segment to ask that question.
Sorry, Brant. We're sorry for this guy. Go ahead, Kelly.
Don't apologize, guys. So give you a little bit of background on me in the Cliff Notes version here. I'm a graduate from this university, graduated in the class of 06, and I took the long path to a degree because when I started going to school here, it still was Southwest Texas. I was on what they call the six-year program. So very familiar with the reputation, and you have a student body of 40,000, you know, and 18 to 22-year-olds want to get out and have a good time. And, you know, here in downtown San Marcos, we have what we call the square, a number of bars and restaurants and, you know, places to hang out. You know, there's a lot of, you know, dorms and apartments and a lot of get-togethers. So you put that many students into a city the size of St. Marcus, they're going to get together and have a good time. Let's just put it that way.
Hey, and no reason to apologize for that. When the Eagles come there later on this fall, I might be right in there with them. But let's talk academically about Texas State. If fill in this blank, Brant. Students who really want to be good at blank should enroll at Texas State.
Well, broadcasting, obviously. they do have a very good journalism program here. It's one that I came from through their mass comm department. But we also have a tremendous business school here, over at Texas State, the McCoy School of Business. There are a variety of options. I wouldn't say that there's one particular thing that we are known for here. It feels that you get a degree in anything, you have a chance at succeeding. The alumni base is tremendous. It expands well beyond Texas and the major areas here, beyond Houston, Dallas, Austin, and San Antonio. You'll run into alums, you know, in California, as we did when the baseball team played at the Stanford Regional. I think a few years back, we went to Hattiesburg. We ran into some alumni there. But in terms of, you know, what we're known for with education, I would say business, journalism stand out the most to me.
Brant, ask Jay Walker from Louisiana this the other day. We've heard a lot about certain venues, particularly, you know, what Boone's like in the fall. A few other. He was just kind of walking us through a few different venues. What's your favorite place to call a game? And you can pick the sport in the Sun Belt Conference. And what are some of the locations Southern Miss fans should get excited about?
Well, I'm going to give, you know, Jay a shout out here. He's my guy from Louisiana. When you go to their place for baseball, it is unbelievable. They'll draw 3,000-4,000 about every game. Their fans are very engaged, hanging on about every pitch. They have what they call the Cajun Cooking Club out beyond the fence in right field, and they have a group of their fans that will just smoke meats, barbecue chicken, sides of, you know, cream corn or whatever, and they will feed the opposing teams. They feed the opposing broadcasters. We get this styrofoam to-go thing just full of barbecue meat in like the sixth inning. I appreciate the gesture, but I can't exactly eat it at that time. So that's, for me, across all the sports, And in terms of environment, I don't think it gets a whole lot better than that. But I will say, watching your baseball team in their run of the Supers and seeing your ballpark and the way it was filling out throughout your conference tournament, throughout the regionals, I can't wait to catch baseball there.
Well, you're going to be in for a real treat when you come to Pete Taylor Park. We eat a lot of good food. Our fans are very, very humble. Very quiet, not cocky at all. We treat all of our opponents with the utmost respect.
Yeah, right. It happens, but just get used to it. It's going to be great to play the Bobcats for sure.
Hey, great conversation with you. We really appreciate your time. Looking forward to talking to you again when we get a little closer to football.
Sounds great, guys. Looking forward to it.
All right, that's got to wrap up the Eagle Hour for this week. Great to have you here with us, Luke.
Don't call them TSU, which I feel
Don't
like
call them TSU.
The Roost will next year in baseball.
You can tell
season.
They have a lot to learn if he thinks Lafayette is the greatest baseball environment. He just hasn't seen anything yet, has he?
And for the record, I just want to say it is great to see Luke Johnson, and he does more than just punt.
Did you hear that, Drew Boyd?
He does. He's a legend among legends, no question. That wraps up this Eagle Hour. We'll be back Monday at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
7-7 into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.